Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon is taken from the gospel reading. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it really is a privilege for me to be with you this Sunday. As Pastor Gregory mentioned, I am traveling around the country visiting congregations and individuals to create a support network of people and churches to partner with me in my work, to consider and to include me in their prayers, and also to support my work financially in the country of Italy. And as a pastor missionary through our Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, in preparation for my deployment to that country, there are many, many meetings about life overseas. Educational sessions with different topics, like moving to a new country, emergency evacuation, and lastly, medical care. And one of the options for health care, for medical care, available to us as international workers, and not only to us, but apparently is being made available to many people in the U.S., if not the world, is receiving medical care over Skype, over FaceTime, over the internet. No need to leave your home. No personal contact necessary, no touching. You don't need to worry about any germs or being exposed to any viruses. It can all be done digitally through the internet. Now, on one side, it can be conceded that this idea has its advantages, especially living in a foreign country, being able to speak to an American doctor, or even being able to keep your doctor no matter where you live, certainly is an amazing thing. But on the other side, it must also be conceded that despite all of these advantages that there is in our society, our culture, our education, an incredible movement away from tangible, real things, things that you can touch. A frightening dynamic separating us from a real presence, an in-the-flesh relationship, an incarnational presence, to an artificial presence, a digital presence that can hardly be called a presence at all. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not what we see in our gospel reading for this Sunday. This is not what Jesus is all about in the 7th chapter of Mark. In this chapter, we see Jesus up close and personal, face to face with this man. Oh, sure. There are all sorts of ways that God in the past had communicated, had established a presence with his creation. The letter to the Hebrews in the opening verse reminds us of that. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. To Moses, God communicated by a burning bush. To Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, God had sent many different messengers who should be considered pre-incarnate manifestations of the second person of the Trinity. After God rescued the Israelites from Egypt, he made his presence known by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. During those 40 years, his holy presence was in the tabernacle, located in the Holy of Holies, But don't get too close, or God's presence will kill you. There are all sorts of ways that God had communicated to his people by prophecy and vision and dreams. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But the verse continues, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And in our text for this Sunday, we see God infinitely closer than he ever had been before. We see the power of the incarnation. We see God taking on flesh and blood and bones. We see the second person of the Trinity getting personal with his creation, touching his creation, sticking his finger in the man's ear, even spitting on this man's tongue. So then, I suppose it begs the question of whether God could have done it another way. Could God have stayed up in heaven and beamed down his divine presence from the clouds? Did God have to become man? Must the second person of the Trinity be born of Mary? Does a father have to be with his son or daughter? Does a mother have to be with her child? Could you carry out your marriage over Skype? Could a pastor, this is something I think about a lot with my call to Italy, could a pastor be a shepherd to his flock over the internet? It's an interesting question, and to answer it, I invite you to think back to the initial illustration. Could a doctor heal over the internet? Could a physician fix something simply over Zoom or FaceTime? Well, I suppose it depends upon the seriousness of the disease, the gravity of the problem that the doctor is there to solve. If it's simply prescribing an antibiotic for some infection or giving some heart pressure medication, then sure, I could see how a doctor could practice medicine over the internet. But for a more serious problem, for a true emergency, in a life and death situation, you would need to have the doctor there. So whether or not it is necessary for the doctor to be present depends on the seriousness of the disease. And whether or not it is necessary for God to be present depends on the seriousness of our disease of sin. Brothers and sisters, God needs to be present. He needs to be born. He needs to be incarnate. To use the language of the text, he needs to stick his finger in your ear and spit on your tongue. The seriousness of the disease of sin requires it. You aren't just a little sick with sin. You don't just have a cold or a minor infection. You are dead in your sin. The condition of your disease is fatal. The sickness of sin will kill you. You need immediate personal care. You need God present in your life. As sinners, we need the incarnation. We need a physical connection with each other, and most importantly, with God. Sure, you might talk to your children or grandchildren over the internet from time to time, but you also need to be there in person to give them a hug and a kiss. Sure, on a business trip, you might for a time chat with your spouse over the internet, But marriage requires the physical connection of a husband and a wife. And sure, right now, the Lutheran Church of Italy is almost entirely online, as you will see in my presentation. Most of us connect through the internet and a weekly Saturday Zoom service, but that can't continue forever. It is entirely necessary that I go to that country to be their pastor in the flesh to those people in that place. It is necessary that I be there, and it is necessary for God to be there. The seriousness of sin requires it. The desperate nature of our condition demands it. Our salvation is so important to God that by nothing less than his incarnation would God choose to save you. Our salvation is so important to him that he personally carries it out. God himself took on flesh and blood and bones to go to the cross, to have that flesh ripped open, that blood poured out, and his bones torn out of joints. Could he have done it another way? He loves you so much that he had to do it that way. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his finger into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. This is how God acted then in our story, and this is how God acts today in our lives. He comes to us with his body and his blood in the bread and the wine. He comes to us in the waters of baptism. Yes, he speaks to us in his word, but let's never think of the word as some empty, hollow concept, in one ear, out the other. Jesus sticks his fleshy, bony finger in that man's ear, in both ears. Real things that you can see, hear, feel, and touch. God doesn't beam his presence from heaven. He doesn't project his forgiveness from the clouds. He chooses to be with us personally, bodily, and incarnationally for our salvation. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Before God's healing presence, his touch in our ear and on our tongue, we were trapped in silent darkness. But now that all of our sins have been washed away, our ears have been healed by his word and our tongue loosened by his body and blood, our whole being is refocused to him. Now all of our senses are refocused to him to gladly and lovingly serve him. And it is true that sin remains. It is true that we only see in part, we taste in part, we hear in part. We don't fully understand. But someday, brothers and sisters in Christ, all the veils will forever be removed. Just like they were for this man. When Christ returns, we will see things as they truly are. To forever taste, smell, and see the goodness of God, to forever proclaim the glory of God, who truly has done all things well. In his name, amen.